Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. The brightest of bargains await in the unmissable Black Friday event, in-store or online at harrycurry.com.
0818 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. And Bridget is on the line. Bridget, good afternoon. It sounds like an awful nightmare. Last Saturday evening in Dublin Airport. What happened?
Yeah, good afternoon, Joe. I was coming back from after being in Rome.
Okay.
And I was on the flight that landed in at 6:30 in Dublin Airport. I was just walking along the corridor with my case. It was just a small 10-kilo case, and pulling it along sideways, and there was a bag on top of it. In my left, that was in my right hand, and in my left arm was just my coat.
Yeah.
I had quite a warm jumper on me, and I just had tracksuit on me.
Casual.
So I just stepped onto the escalator. There was two in front of me escalators, so I took the one to the left. Mm-hmm. And as I put on my foot, I thought my case had come on as well.
Yeah.
So the escalator was like moving, and I just had to let go to the case. The case wasn't pulling. It didn't come with me.
Yeah.
So I was gone up a bit the escalator, and then I had fallen on my back.
Oh my gosh.
And so my head was down, the bottom of my legs was forward, so I got an awful fright. Somebody shouted, stop the escalator, so they stopped it, and it's only thankfully to all the people that was there behind me. They weren't direct behind me at the time. They weren't direct behind me, but like when I was walking, there was already people at the top of the escalator, so people that were quicker than me, and then behind me there was a family with a child.
But you essentially, you fell backwards.
Yes, I tumbled backwards.
Oh, God, on a moving escalator going
later, the
upwards.
Escalator moving.
Yeah.
And only somebody got it stopped because I had to let go of my case.
Of course,
because my case didn't come with me. It sort of pulled me. So my case didn't move.
And what was the impact, Bridget? Did your head, I know the escalator is going up, you're falling backwards. Did your head actually connect with, because the steps on an escalator are steel. They're very, very.
Yes, they're very. Joe, it's amazing. I didn't hurt my head. They actually thought, they held my head. When the people came to me, they really thought my head. But I had no pain in my head. It's actually a miracle that I fell, I think, mostly on my right arm. My elbow sort of got it, and then between my elbow and my shoulder, that's a bit painful, even holding the phone, but it's not broken.
And what about, people will know those escalators so well, and they're, the teeth, every step, the edge of every step has teeth in it, so to speak. It's part of the mechanism as it moves around.
I know.
Were you worried about your hair getting caught as the escalator moved upwards?
Afterwards.
Okay.
I think if I had long hair, my hair is just down from my ears, and it sort of goes behind my ears. I think too, with the hard big jumper I had on, would have covered my hair.
Okay.
But I think even if I had my coat on me, that would have gotten caught in it. So I didn't. I had my coat sort of on the arm of my left arm, but everything went.
And normally, 51551 is our text number. Normally, Bridget, are you fairly confident on escalators?
Especially,
even going down.
Oh, even going down.
Okay, well that's
problem. I never had a problem.
Okay.
But now I have a fear. But I also think with the case I had, I used to pull it behind me.
Mm.
And I just seen other people walking with their case, and you can pull it to the side. And it sort of rolls along to the side because the wheels go sideways when you're walking on flat.
Yeah.
So, I never thought there was a problem.
Okay, well, it sounds like
no,
you,
I've been on
you didn't
escalators.
Do anything. You didn't do anything wrong. So, Bridget, you're now lying on the escalator backwards, as
yes.
the escalator's going forward. And how quickly did someone press the emergency stop button?
Somebody was very quick to press it. I think it could have been the Italian man, and his daughter was beside me, and she had a child, a young woman, and.
When you're lying on your back,
yes,
downwards,
yes.
What were you looking up at the ceiling, or could you see other people?
I was just terrified. I just thought, oh my God, what's happening? And then the people were there, and they were all worried about my head, so they held my head,
yeah,
and they were afraid to hurt me, and is your head hurting you or what? And then they sort of got me down, off it, and the Ryanair men was there, and then they called the paramedics. But there was one of the passengers behind me. He shone a light into my eyes because I was shaking, I think. And then the paramedics wanted me to go to the hospital and said my blood pressure was gone over 200.
Wow.
And I kept saying, no, I'll be okay. And
so are you sitting in a chair at this stage, Bridget? Or sort of,
They got a chair for me.
So a lot of people came to your aid?
Yes, there was a lot of people behind me. There was that man, Italian man, his daughter, like she was very good. She had a young child too. I think they were from Dublin. And because I spoke with her a bit on the plane, anybody from Dublin accent, I always speak because my mother was a Dublin woman.
So I recognised
the accent.
And did you continue your journey home?
My son, they wanted to take me to the hospital. Paramedics. I just said, my son is there waiting for me and I'll be okay. So the paramedics did I have the number, and I had it on my phone.
Okay.
And he was outside waiting for me, so...
So that helped,
I spoke with him, and I can't remember exactly what I said, but paramedics took the phone, and they spoke with him.
So great. And the Dublin airport firefighters are also paramedics. In fact, they have their own ambulance dedicated to the airport.
But they were very good. The
very good, yeah.
Well, very
brilliant,
kind.
Brilliant.
They gave me Panadol and said then in the next 4 hours or something, take another two.
Okay. And how were you the next day? You know the way bruises come up?
Yeah, yeah. Oh. I was just very sore the next morning. Also, my son stayed the night in my house.
Okay.
And he wanted me to go to his house, but I said, no, I just want to go home. Yeah, I have cats. Yeah. And so he stayed with me.
Okay.
So I didn't really sleep that night, but I kept thinking, if I could go in an Epsom salts bath, I'd be okay.
To relax yourself.
So I went.
Okay.
Yeah.
And did you?
Pardon?
Did you have an Epsom salts bath?
I did. Well done. That did ease the pain. I could hardly get up, but I said, while my son is still here in the house.
Yes, great idea.
I'll have it now.
And how have you been sleeping since, Bridget, between the physical effects of the accident and the nightmarish aspect of it, falling backwards down an escalator?
Yes. No, I've been, I'm sort of involved in helping cats, homeless cats. So I just wanted to get better and go out and help. And Monday I went along to the hospital that was near me just to... Mm-hmm. I was afraid to move my arm more because I thought maybe it was broken. And there, it was between my elbow and my shoulder. But it's fine. I had an X-ray, but it's still sore. But I can imagine the whole hurt went mostly on my shoulder. So I think I'm just taking paracetamol every 4 hours or something.
And
so I know I'd be okay.
Okay, and is your sleep...
It's a miracle.
Yeah, it is.
I'm well, yeah.
Talk about your cats.
I rang was mostly...
Yeah, to thank people.
Thank
yes.
The the man from Ryanair, to thank the paramedics, to thank the people that was behind me.
Okay.
That.
Well, I'm sure that nothing like your fright, but I'm sure the people who witnessed this got a fright.
Yes, they were so worried that my head was hurt.
Yeah.
You know, they were holding my head from the ground to sort of lift me up because
your head was on the escalator.
Yeah.
You think the security guard one of them was called Bobby?
Yes, I'm not sure, just with the confusion. Waiting, even they were waiting then on the chair to bring me out to customs. So he was there and I just asked him, what was his name? I think it was Bobby.
Okay.
I'm sure the
DAA will let the various people know. But Bridget, you said it was a miracle.
Yes, a miracle.
Well, maybe like your cats, you have 9 lives.
I think things in my life, I've been very lucky and I'm very grateful for, you know, to be able to do. I'm not really a person that has been sick much, so.
Okay. And have your cats in the house? Do you have your own pet cats
I have my own 3 cats.
3 cats.
Heidi, Winnie and Susie. And
Heidi? Yeah, Willie, is it?
Winnie.
I wonder where Willie
was. Winnie and Susie. Yeah, I spend more on them than I do on myself.
Okay,
and then I help with homeless cats
where I
live. There is about 12 homeless cats. That's in a car park, and myself and 2 other women, well, each one of us has a day, so I do 3 days a week to go to feed them.
Do you trap them and get them spayed?
Me, the other 2 do women.
Do we, the women,
that.
Great, the group of you,
That's how I seen it about 4 years ago. I seen them doing it and asked them what were they doing, so...
Okay.
Since that, I helped them out with feeding the cats.
Well done. You're a saint. Yeah. We had a woman in Clontarf used to do that phrase.
Yeah.
Myrna Russell, and she's passed away, unfortunately. But she was a saint with pets and dogs and cats, and she'd try and catch them and get them spayed. They're brilliant. Well,
they're always on the run, especially... Joanna, she's always Orla.
Well, you're a living. Thank God, you're a living saint, Bridget. You're still with us. You know, Bridget. I think it's everyone's fear of falling down an escalator, especially getting on an escalator to go down.
Yeah, getting
downward,
on an escalator,
but to go the other way,
you have to be really focused because it's like it's moving.
There's such a fear of escalators. It has got a word to describe. The fear of escalators is called escalophobia.
Escalophobia.
Yeah.
But
you don't have that.
No.
You're not escalophobic.
I've never had a fear of escalators. No.
Okay, stay there, Bridget. Joe at RT.ie. Con, good afternoon. Yeah. Con, have you got escalophobia?
No, I haven't.
You might have. What happened?
I was at my holidays in Tenerife with my granddaughter and my 2 great-grandchildren, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I went out shopping in this supermarket and I got a couple of messages and this 5-litre bottle of water. And then there was only an escalator. There was no stairs up out of the supermarket. It was just an escalator. So I hopped on the escalator and halfway up at the gravity kicked in and the bottle of water took over and fell down the escalator and I was nearly gone with it there was an English woman behind me and she saved my life. So very frightened.
You were going to be falling backwards, is that right?
I was falling backwards at the time that she just got my back.
She held on to you?
Yeah, she pushed me in the back and pushed me back up. I was heading back down the escalator. And if I'm 85 and if I had a head down, I was gone. Like, you know what I mean? I would have been brown bread.
And did you find out who your good Samaritan was who lent you the helping hand?
My, No, I never did. We looked. My granddaughter came to rescue me after. She was came into the supermarket, and I was pretty shook at the time. And the woman was, my granddaughter said the woman was more shook than I was. Like, she was sort of more frightened, like, she more frightened than I was. Like, we never found out who she was.
And did you, Con, did you think the worst as you were falling back?
Oh, God, I thought it was dead. I thought it was gone.
Wow.
I thought it was a goner, yeah.
Because you're thinking, falling back, like Bridget, escalator going upwards, you're falling backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
You immediately think, my head has gone to...
Oh, well, that was my worst fear.
Your head is going to whack off the... Oh,
and
God.
Lucky enough, she was the only person on the escalator, like, which was sort of another miracle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And would you use an escalator? Well, you see, they're so handy, aren't they?
Handy. There was no other way out of that shopping centre. Like, it was the San Paolo in Tenerife, and it was only an escalator. But I found out afterwards that there was a stairs further down that I didn't know about.
You get to a certain age, Con. I don't know if you're at that age. I don't know if Bridget's at that
age. I'm
85. Yeah, well, you probably are at that age. You get to a certain age where the first thing the doctor says to you, the main thing I want you to avoid is steps and anywhere an occasion for you to fall.
So take
the lift, take the escalator, don't go down. Yeah. If there's a slope, or a wheelchair slope, use the slope rather than the steps. Because if you have a fall, it can be lead to another fall and another fall. Stay there, Con. Geraldine.
Hello, Joe.
When did this happen?
It happened in October. My husband were coming down the escalator and a lady behind him fell on top of him.
Okay.
And they got to the bottom. He was trying to lift her up. He pushed all the buttons on the escalator.
Okay, so, come back to me. Your husband is on the escalator. There's a lady. Where were you? Were you there?
I was on the opposite escalator coming down. There were two escalators.
Okay,
I was on
the
other one.
Both of them going down. Okay.
Yeah.
This woman falls forward.
Yeah.
And connects with your husband.
She does, yeah.
And your husband, is he pushed forward? Or is he managed?
Yeah, he falls forward.
Oh, my God. Did he connect with the escalator going down?
He did, yeah. He was on his knees.
Oh, my God.
He tried to press the stop buttons and they wouldn't work.
Okay. And where is his hands? Were his hands on the metal steps going downwards?
He was trying to I couldn't see because there were that many people there, coming down. And then when I got to the bottom, I could see him at the bottom and he was trying to help the lady up as well.
So the two of them came... The two of them landed at the bottom. I presume there's people screaming at this stage, is there?
People were calling, somebody ran out then to call some of the staff to get help.
Okay.
They came and we were brought outside. I don't even know whether the steps stopped or not. I was in that much shock, you know.
So your husband is... the escalator... transport your husband who's on his knees. I'm very I'm very conscious of his hands. You'd really get worried that your hand...
He got a cut on his knee and on his wrist.
Yeah. And then he slides off the escalator at the bottom.
Yeah, he got off eventually, But there were lots of people behind him, you know.
Did he need medical attention?
Well, the paramedics came and thanks be to goodness he didn't. They checked him out and his cuts were just okay, you know.
He must have, did he get, what do you mean, you must have got a fright, presume he
I was rattling.
Were you?
Yeah, no, because I couldn't get at him, you know.
And how was he when he...
He was shaking, he was shaking. It took him a day or two to sort of think, you know, think about what could have happened.
And the lady who he saved, if you follow me, it was the lady behind him who fell. He caught her unbeknownst to himself. How was she afterwards?
Well, she was brought in a wheelchair.
Okay.
The paramedics looked after her then.
Oh, wow.
But we saw them afterwards, and she seemed to be okay because they were leaving the airport, thank God.
But it's still a terrible fright.
But
and
the emergency button didn't work.
Yeah, that's interesting. Did anyone address that issue? No, did anyone say?
Not really, no. Not
but
really,
I'm trying to work out, because your husband's obviously very, very agile in one sense. He's
well, he was nearly 80.
Good lad.
Yeah.
So, but Geraldine, he falls forward. There's someone. I presume this woman is still on his back or whatever. He's on his knees going down the escalator.
She was coming down head first. She came down head first.
And he's trying to hold on to the.
Yeah.
Get some traction for himself.
Yeah.
And then, but he tries to press the where's the emergency button halfway down?
There were buttons at the bottom.
Of the actual escalator.
After, just
as you get out there, okay.
Yeah,
and you say a number of people tried to push them and it didn't stop.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he was trying and he kept pushing and nothing.
Was there any alarm sound going off?
No, nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
And how is he, does he have, what's that phrase, escalophobia?
No, he doesn't, no.
Okay, how's he now?
No. He's fine, he's fine.
And how are you?
I'm grand. We're grand. Well, no, we're grand, actually. It was just that, you know, the shock of it all at the time and for a day or so afterwards.
Yeah, of course.
You know, thinking of what could have happened.
Yeah. This
as
is
long as
the Dublin, I know your case is not Dublin Airport, but in Bridget's case it was. Stay with us, Bridget, and Geraldine for a second. Dublin Airport Authority say we sincerely hope that Bridget has fully recovered from her unfortunate accident. I can confirm that the team is aware of the incident and has been passed on to our safety officer in Dublin Airport. We would remind passengers that it is advised not to take luggage or bags on escalators when going through the airport. Please use a lift. Was that up? Insofar as you remember, Bridget, you can't go around looking for everything in the airport. But insofar as you can remember,
no.
Bridget, was there a lift option?
Oh, yes. There is a lift there, but I've never noticed it before.
But I think
there was a lift there.
Yeah, but I think if everyone who had a bag took the lift,
there'd be some
queue for the lift, wouldn't there?
I've always seen people with luggage going on escalators.
Yeah, so have I. Yeah.
But
I know you say there might be a knack to it. It might be. Have you put your luggage either beside you or ahead of you rather than behind you?
Yeah, well, I think if you pull the luggage behind you, it might have gone on. But I was pulling it to the side because the wheels on it, and it can go to the side, you know, when you're walking.
Yeah, they're notorious.
You pull it to the side.
Different directions,
Okay. Yeah, but...
But that's what they say, use a lift. But I don't know if that's a... viable option when you've a large crowd going through the airport. Everyone with a bag.
Yeah, when you're all just
everyone with a bag.
Go.
Okay, well, Bridget, I'm glad you made a full recovery.
Yes, thanks so much.
And I'm sure the cats in your area are glad that you're back on patrol.
Yes.
On your cat
and
on your paw patrol.
All the people that was around me.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
I'm
very good.
So grateful and thanks to them that you know they were able to whoever was behind me then stop the escalator because I wouldn't even have known where there was a button.
Of course.
But I was gone up the escalator so.
And Bridget, you said you're quite spiritual. Did you say a little prayer as you were falling?
Bless myself or.
When you get into your car, you bless yourself.
Well, not all the time.
Yeah,
I would say maybe when I'm driving, I would listen
course.
To the radio. If I was driving a long journey, I would say a little prayer.
And who have you a special devotion to any saint? Or?
No, just to Jesus and Mother Mary. I would mostly just talk to them and thank them for everything in my life. And thank you. That's it. Not mostly saying prayers because prayers...
It's
hard to understand.
Yeah,
so I would talk in my own words.
You're grateful and you express your grateful.
Grateful, And grateful for what you have.
Yeah, and you express your gratitude.
I'm that type of person.
Okay, say to Bridget, Sally Graver, Sally.
Hello, Joe. How you doing?
Tell us what happened.
Well, it was a few years ago. I was coming up the escalator at the bottom and I fell.
And whereabouts was this, Sally?
This was in Dublin Airport.
Okay.
The escalator kept going round and round and they're digging into my back. And it seemed to go on forever. without before somebody stopped, because the button was up at the top and I was at the bottom. And eventually a very kind man came over and calmed me down and lifted me up. And I was bruised and battered. And there was nobody, no safety people around at all. And there was no way to, for the, at the bottom to press an emergency button that I could see. So I was bruised and battered. And,
but Sally, just to be clear, you're coming down on the escalator.
I'm going up.
Oh, you're going up. Okay. Did you fall forwards or backwards?
I fell backwards.
Okay.
So
are you lying? Are you now lying on the escalator?
I'm now lying on the bottom. Oh my God! Door, and it's going round and round at the bottom, and it's digging into my back.
Oh, so you're still okay. So the steps are coming out from under the escalator, obviously in that conveyor belt circular motion, and they keep continually hitting your back.
Yeah.
Good God.
So I was very bruised and battered, and eventually, and everybody was looking. I seem to go on forever, you know. And eventually, very kind, somebody must have stopped it up on top. My husband was up on top. He got ahead of me. He didn't see what was happening until he got to the top. And then somebody eventually at the top of the escalator stopped the escalator. And a very, very kind man came over. And he said, "Are you all right? Calm down." Mm-hmm. I was in very shocked. Calm down. He very kind lifted me up and assured me that I was all right. And then I was brought home. And other very kind people sat me down and said, "I give her some chocolate, she's in shock."
Give her some
really,
chocolate.
Really, really kind. And there was nobody around. There was no to help.
Sally, who came up with the idea of giving you chocolate? What were they going to give you? Kit Kat, take a break. Take another break.
Give me some sweets to calm me down. Okay. So anyhow, all I wanted to do, Joe, was get home. I just, I couldn't know where the first aid was, but it seemed to be a long way away.
And they come quickly down the airport, in fairness. Obviously, they can't be everywhere, but they do come quickly. They've dedicated paramedics and an ambulance and all the police are trained as well.
I can tell you none of that happened.
Okay.
But eventually, I got home, and I was very bruised and battered. But I wrote to Dublin Airport because I wasn't meant to submit a claim, but I just wanted to point out
the number
of safety issues that needed to be addressed.
Okay. And can you go on an escalator since, Sally?
I cannot.
Oh.
I cannot get down an escalator.
Wow.
I am terrified. I just go into shock if I'm at the top. I just can't. I have to find the nearest stairs to use. So there you go.
Yeah. But you see what
my experience.
Dublin Airport say, try and use a lift. But you, that's what you do now. You go looking for the lift.
I didn't know. I look for the stairs or the lift.
The stairs themselves, Sally, if you have a heavy load, can be, if you miss your step.
Well, I've no problem with the stairs.
Okay, well done. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
okay,
there you go,
Joe. Okay, Sally, thanks. And there you go. And I'm glad you, did anyone give you a Kit Kat? That's a new one on me.
This woman, there was a lovely couple from Northern Ireland, you know, and they said, "Give her something sweet."
Or the shock. I've had enough crunchies in me back for one day, and I don't want another break.
Saved me, actually had the camera bag on my back.
Yeah, okay.
And saved me from
that. Saved you, okay.
Worse injuries.
Because if you didn't have the camera bag on your back, Sally, you never knew what might develop.
But it saved
you a little bit anyway. Gave you a bit of a pillow or cushion. Will you mind you? Yes?
The gentleman who came up, he was so calm. A tall man, and he was just so kind and helped me up. Said me not to worry. I said, "My passport is after flying here. Don't worry, I'll get it."
Well done. People are great when something unfortunate happens. Okay, Sally Graver and Bridget in Kildare. Bridget, thanks a million. Mind yourself now.
Okay, and Bridget, thank you, Joe.
How many, do you think that's one of your nine lives gone, Bridget?
Could be. I don't know. No, I think I'm healthy enough.
You sound it.
It's not my time yet.
Yeah, and keep in touch with your higher power and your beliefs. and that will that will help you in time, as you know, in times of trouble.
Yeah.
And
thanks again, Joe.
Thank you, Bridget. Thank you. Mind yourself now. That's Bridget in Kildare. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Just Paul Healy from the Irish Daily Star and the Mirror is tweeting the last few minutes, and it is his Twitter feed, it's verified. He said, everyone is back in the courtroom, including Conor McGregor and his family. There's a feeling something is afoot. But then he's tweeted 2 minutes ago, Judge Alexander Owens is back in the courtroom. He says he has been told the jury intend to carry on until 6 o'clock. Okay, we'll keep you up to date on that very, very important court case. Breda, good afternoon. A horrific incident on an escalator. What happened?
Yeah, hiya, Joe. I just want to say before I start that St. Bridget must be minding that lady, St. Bridget from Kildare, was to be minding
well
Bridget from
well
Kildare.
Said.
I'm
well
also
said.
A Bridget.
Well
Breda.
Said. Well, okay.
So, yeah, the worst thing I ever saw with an escalator was I was in a local shopping centre. I live in Clondalkin, so a shopping centre relatively near me. It's very new. And it has one of those new escalators, new type of escalators that, you know, it's blocked at the beginning. You're not allowed to bring a buggy on. It says no buggies.
Okay.
But some way, I don't know how the lady did it, but this lady had her buggy on the escalator with her child in the buggy. And she was about halfway up the very high escalator when the child's finger got caught in the steps.
Oh my God.
So it's bound to happen because, you know, a child's hand is going to be down right
at the level. So the child was sitting in the buggy.
The child was sitting, maybe
dangling his hand,
child, maybe. Yeah, with his hands down. Just the child would normally have their hands down. But the child's finger got caught in the steps of the escalator. And it was a quiet morning. I'm retired, so I was over there nice and early, a quiet morning in the shopping centre. And you could just hear the screams of the child everywhere. Now, people did try to turn off the buttons at the bottom, you know, shoppers. I was at the top, I think. I can't really remember, but I was at the top. People were trying to turn it off and they couldn't turn it off. It took a while to turn it off. But then when they managed to turn it off, the child's finger was still caught and it had to be damaged, really badly damaged, I'd say. I didn't wait.
Maybe that's the reason why they say do not take
Oh, absolutely.
Buggies.
But it is easy to get a buggy on. Yeah, you know the way. You kind of, there is
a style, lift, like I a think. Style that narrows you, yeah.
Oh, there's a style. There is a lift, I think, in this store. Yeah, I'm not sure if there is because I've never used it. There are stairs at the back. But obviously for a mother who is shopping, they probably think, bags as well, the escalator is the best way.
Yeah.
But I don't know what actually happened because they put screens around that they couldn't get the child's finger out. So you can imagine the child was absolutely hysterical.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to warn people, even if you can fit your buggy through the little stiles, don't bring a child in a buggy on on the escalator. I never realised before
because
the danger until
I actually dangled as they always do, even when they're walking, if they see.
Or even if you have a small child with you and their hands are quite low, just make sure they don't have their hands dangling down. You know, a small child walking, the steps are so high, they could catch their fingers in the escalator.
Course,
I just never thought about it till I actually saw it happening, and it was
That's
a nightmare.
The child is. It's okay, Breda. Bridget, indeed. Breda, thanks indeed. I go. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text. Bernadette, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe.
You
How
do
are you?
Suffer from escalophobia.
I do. I'm having escalophobia just listening to be honest.
And when did you develop or realise you had escalophobia?
Well, I'll tell you when I discovered it.
Okay.
It's over 30 years ago. We went to London with our two small children. And luggage and all. And we were in the underground. And in those days, some of the underground escalators were wooden.
Oh,
and
yes,
they were absolutely a sheer drop. Now, I mean,
yeah,
a sheer drop.
I've been on them so many times.
I physically could not get on the escalator.
Wow.
Right? So my poor husband had to bring the cases down, leave them. Come back up, bring the children down, leave them. Come back up, bring me down, leave them. I don't know how he didn't divorce me. He's a very patient man.
Wow.
But I've never down. It's only the down escalators, not so much the up escalators.
So the ones, like the ones in the London Underground, the wooden ones apparently are wearing a tower. One for the steepness of it.
Yeah,
the drop. You almost, if you stand on the top one, you almost can't see the second one. You think you're going almost
right
down.
Exactly, Joe. Exactly. I panic when I even think about it now. But for years then, I just found it really hard going. And I still have times when I hesitate. And if I have a bag, my husband takes it because I have to concentrate on getting on myself. And I just don't want to go down with my grandchildren. I get really, really panicked at the thought of going down with my grandchildren.
Now, is there a knack, Bernadette? Do people say, don't look down, look ahead, just keep gently walking onto the escalator. Don't look down because you might stumble.
But you kind of have to look down to find your steps. That's what I think. But the only thing is now, there are down escalators now that have a couple of steps that are straight and then they go down. Now, those ones are really easy to get on because you get on, do you understand me? You get on a straight one and there's a couple of straight ones and then it starts to descend. And those ones are okay. But I had to turn you off in the car. I couldn't listen to the stories. I was panicked. I had nearly a panic attack at the thought of it. It's just that sense of letting go, or I don't know what it is. Yeah, I can't do it. I find it really difficult.
Well, I know those wooden escalators, but they were phased out.
They were removed after the fire.
Yeah, and the anniversary of that fire is this week, Bernadette. It was King's Cross tube station on the 18th of November, 1987.
Wow.
And I watch these documentaries so often. A lot of tin foil and cigarette packets had gathered under the wooden escalator, which was well greased. And then they suspect, because people were allowed smoke then, somebody dropped a lighted cigarette or a match still alight, and that began the fire. And then that the steepness of that drop became a chimney. As you know, the fire rushed upwards to the chimney into the main concourse, and there was 31 people burned to death. The only way if you were on the stairs, apparently it's the people who turned around and ran back down the stairs into where the tracks were that survived. But the people who thought they were running to safety by running up the stairs, they were effectively... And that was 1987. Yeah. That was, 37 years ago.
Whatever years ago, it was before
last Monday. And I think after that they got rid of the...
And I think they were on the lower levels, to be honest with you. I think the wooden ones were actually the very lower levels of the underground.
Okay, I just wonder, is there a knack?
Well, I think one of the...
When your husband came back up, having gone down about 12 times the poor man, and it is a distance down. It is a distance down.
He actually didn't say a word, but I knew by his face he was thinking, oh, God.
He was going to take steps. He's going to take steps. But anyway, no, you know that old story, you have the cow, the sheep and the fox or the wolf, and you have to get them across the river. And how do you make sure the cow and the whatever? Okay, and you bring one over and one back and you take one up. But anyway, so your husband, he takes the bags down to the bottom of this escalator.
Leaves them at the bottom,
which is a good distance. He leaves them there.
Yeah. Oh, it was a huge distance, I tell you.
And he comes back up.
Back up.
He takes the kids down.
And then he brings the children down and gets them to stand and watch.
So he tells the children, you stand there with the bags.
Exactly.
Okay. So then he comes back up, and how did he get you down?
Oh, he just took me by the hand.
And said, okay.
Put his arm around me or whatever.
And did you close your eyes or what did you do?
Absolutely. I was just petrified. Okay. Yeah, I was petrified. Yeah, yeah. I didn't get over it for a long time.
Okay.
I'll tell you. And then, And then I was saying that the kids, actually, we had another incident where one of my children almost ran onto one. She was always the one who would go ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
She nearly ran onto one, which is... You have to really watch the kids around them.
I had one of them as well, I tell you.
Horrific.
I had one of them, kept running ahead. And we went to the zoo one day and he ran straight in through the gates, down the hill, and head first into the lake. in Dublin
oh,
Zoo.
Stop.
Head first.
My daughter jumped into the deep end of a swimming pool once when we arrived on a holiday.
Oh, that's the most dangerous time on a holiday is when you arrive and everyone is unpacking
absolutely.
And distracted. Anyway, Bernadette, your husband took steps. He took steps to help you. Yeah, okay.
He did. He looked after me.
And is he still looking after you and vice versa?
Oh, absolutely.
Right.
He will, yeah, he knows. He will know when we come to an escalator. He will always take the bag off me or whatever.
Okay. Well, I, it sounds like you have a scalophobia, but your husband has Bernadette-a-phobia.
In more ways than one, probably.
He's probably afraid of his life. Well done. You mind yourself, Bernadette.
Thanks a million, and
above
though,
all, above all, mind your... What's his first name? Give me his first name.
Brian.
Mind Brian, will you? Mind Brian. Okay, Bernadette and Brian. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815. Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
I was just reading, it's so serious, these escalator issues. In the King's Cross fire, which started on an escalator, and then there was a flashover, and it was a wooden escalator. One of the 31 people who were burned to death, unfortunately, including a firefighter, by the way, Colin Townsley, I should name everyone, but just his name comes up. There was a man who remained unidentified from 1987 until 2004, 17 years later, when forensic evidence eventually confirmed he was 73-year-old Alexander Fallon of Falkirk in Scotland. 17 years before the man was identified. I know that's London and people coming from different places and people maybe not keeping up contact with families, but it's just horrific. All started by a fire on an escalator. Dara, good afternoon. Types of footwear on escalators.
Yeah, hi, Joe. Okay. Thanks for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, loud and clear, loud and clear. Types of footwear.
Right. Yeah, look, just for, just to let everybody know as a warning, we were living overseas in Asia, and even in Asia on the escalators, they have printed signs of this warning.
Okay.
So, you know the little plastic shoes that the kids wear, Crocs?
Oh, yeah, so, there's loads of different variations,
They do say, don't wear these on the escalator. So, we were travelling with friends of ours, we all had small kids, and one of the little fellas was wearing Crocs and he was on the side of the escalator, you know, on the left or whatever. And he turned around to talk to his parents and his shoe got caught in the side.
Okay.
And it literally ripped the shoe off. And I don't want to go into graphic detail, but it took all the skin off the top of his foot. He had to get a skin graft. And he was out of school for, well, he was in school, but plastered up for at least a few months. You know, it was quite horrific. So just if anybody is going on their holidays with small kids, because this little fella was only about 6.
But just check, no matter what, footwear, sandals, Crocs, and other Crocs is a kind of a generic name now for that type of plastic. So the plastic, the Croc got caught on the side of the escalator.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it ripped it off, but while it ripped it off, it took a bit of the foot with it.
Yeah.
Just got sucked into the...
But we had a man a few weeks ago. He's a lovely man. He's originally from Germany. We were talking about people. He walks around. He lives in West Cork. He goes around his bare feet everywhere.
Yeah, I heard
that.
Which
can be nice. Yeah. But I presume you wouldn't go on an escalator in your bare feet, would you?
Well, I don't know. You might be better off. I don't. I honestly don't know.
I doubt
it.
No, don't say that, but Dara, God. I can't imagine you mean. Okay, it's another, be careful, even laces, loose laces.
And it's just standing that close to the edge. And then because he was a little fella, he turned around to talk to his parents. And obviously, he ends up the missing mechanism and the plastic shoe got caught.
And it needed a skin graft. Okay. Thanks, Dara. Thanks, Dara. Joe at RT.ie. Edward Geraghty. Edward, good afternoon. Edward's in Kilkenny.
Yes, Joe. How are you?
Escalators. Edward, what a tragedy that you're about to tell us. I'm just looking at it quickly here in the screen. It was your sister.
My sister, yes, she went, flew to London on April 6, 2016.
Mm-hmm.
And she was travelling. She eventually was going up the escalator in Westminster when
the tube, the underground, yeah.
Yeah, and for some reason she must have fallen because I got a ring a day or two later saying she was in the Royal London Hospital and there was no hope of recovery, that she had fallen on an escalator.
Oh, my God.
And she was in life support, yeah.
Oh, my God.
She was in the Royal London Hospital, Whitechapel.
And so far, what did they say? Obviously, your family went over and they're collecting remains. And
we went over and investigated it. I spoke to people in charge of the escalator and they told me they had no CCTV on the escalator, which I thought was strange for London.
Yeah.
So they couldn't tell me. And they had no witnesses, which was stranger still. But the only thing is she was carrying a very heavy case.
Okay.
And she was 81 years old, even though she was very fit.
Yeah.
But what they told me is she fell backwards and fell down. They're steel, you know, the steel escalators, they're worse. And she got brain damage. And
had she been in London? How long was she in London before this horrific accident?
A few hours. She had flown over from Cork Airport. And she was going to visit a friend for a couple of days when it happened.
And had she been in, had she used escalators before?
All her life, I'd imagine. Yep. Okay. She worked in London for years as a nurse, so she would have been very familiar.
Of course, yes. Everyone uses the underground in London. It's so important and so vital to the running of the city with 9 million people. Edward, how come it took them 2 days to contact you?
I don't know that. I suppose there's a railway police there.
Transport police.
And there's the army police. So I suppose between that and everything else, maybe finding out who our next of kin was, maybe was a problem. But they did ring us and we flew straight over. So she was in a life support and they just kept her alive long enough for us to be at her bedside.
You see, London's such a big city. I'm just wondering, would it have been any consolation to the family if some witness had come forward and say what happened and maybe reassure you that she wasn't in pain or but that never happened, did it?
No. But I always thought it was very strange that you could have an escalator in the middle of London and nobody saw it falling. That's the only thing that's the only part that we don't have closure on,
London is...
But she was a marvellous aunt to all her grandchildren and her...
Oh, God rest her.
Everybody, yeah.
Along was she nursing in England, Edward?
She was in England. She nursed in England, Paris and San Francisco. She was in England. She trained there. She trained there in Highgate back many years back. She did about 6 or 8 years there, then moved to Paris for 6 or 7 years and then moved to San Francisco where she loved.
She's well used to cities.
Well traveled.
And did
travel
you bring
with her?
Yeah, she loved it.
Sorry?
She loved
traveling. And loved working, yeah.
And did you bring your remains back to Ireland?
We did. We brought them back to Kilkenny. And we had our Requiem Mass in Kilkenny and she was cremated in Newlands Cross there, yeah.
Okay, well, God rest her, Edward. And what an effect on your family.
Had a shock to get a phone call like that is not a nice thing, I can tell you. Yeah.
Okay, Edward. The sadness is, again, in a city like London, 9 million people keep moving. People don't know each other. Whereas if it was, isn't that the wonderful thing still about Ireland? Even in the face of a tragedy, you'll have somebody. If your someone belonged to you was killed, God forbid, in a freak accident, you'd usually have someone who witnessed it and can reassure you that there was no.
You would indeed. You
okay,
would.
Edward. God, what a saint, nursing all her life.
Yes, she was a great nurse. She was a fantastic nurse. Yeah.
Okay.
When she retired from nursing, she came home to nurse my mother for about 6 or 7 years, and then she died.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a testament. Well said, Edward, but God rest her.
Marvellous sister.
Okay. Margaret Geraghty, and you should be. And I'm sure she is of you, if she could hear your testimony today. Edward, thank you so much.
She's up there looking down.
Okay, good stuff. And she'll mind you and look after you. Her hand is on your shoulder. Joe at rt.ie, 51551 text.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
And Joe at rt.ie. And remember, self-published books. Get your books in. I was looking at the corner that we have them in Stage 7 here in RTE at the minute, our new helm for the last 2 years. And I see some people are making brilliant efforts to put their name on the packaging. We want you, which is great, but please put your name on the book. On the book. The packaging will be removed, and there's so many, so please put your name on the book. Josephine Alancoe, Josephine, good afternoon.
Hi, Joe, how are you?
This is a magnificent achievement on your part. How did you get thrown out of the most famous art gallery in the world?
Well, I was afraid of escalators and elevators. That really limited me now.
Wow. So come on, you go into the Louvre.
So I was with my boyfriend in Paris and we went to visit. Now, it was late in the day, so we thought we'd just go in and see, maybe get tickets for the next day.
Yeah, great.
So I got in. I don't remember exactly. I believe the escalators were turned off when I got in. You know, it's quite steep down the pyramid.
Yeah, it's a pyramid.
And so we inquired, we did what we needed to do, and then it was time to leave. And then all the escalators were on, and there was only the option of elevators. So there was no stairs out. So my husband explained to security that, you know, she won't go on them. And they were like, oh, it's fine. So one was at either side, and he grabbed my elbows and started to push me onto the escalator.
Onto the moving escalator?
Yes, a moving escalator.
But you have escalophobia. You have a fear of them.
Oh, I had a very bad time, So I wouldn't get on, I went hysterical. So after a lot of drama, the security at the top stopped the escalator, everyone had to get off, and I walked out solo with my husband behind me, and they walked me to the door.
And, God, it sounds like they were close to drawing their weapons to get you onto that escalator. So
they do carry weapons as well.
I know they do. So you're, and you know when you developed escalophobia?
So it was at Heathrow Airport. I was we went to England with my family when I was around 8 or 9 or that way. Mm-hmm. And I got separated from my family there, and I suppose I went looking for them, and the only way was to go down the escalator, and I was too scared to get on it. So I think that's where it all started. A cleaner, a very nice lady, came in. Got me, and she got me down, and you know, customer service got reunited. It was fine, but from then on, I just wouldn't. And then the elevator started after that. I don't know what that was about.
And but again, funny enough, we were talking earlier that we completely did. I don't know how it came up. I don't know how a lot of things come up in life, 90 times. But we were talking about people being trapped in elevators. And you know there is there's a phobia about being trapped in small places.
Yeah.
That's called cletrophobia, so to speak. And if you've no idea where the elevator one came from.
I kind of did. I remember being in Dublin on a school trip, and we were messing in secondary school, and they threw me in and they pushed the button and I went up. I think that kind of freaked me out. But
yeah. Well, that would.
That was later on. But I worked in London one summer when I was around 19, and the tubes, I had them all worked out. I knew which ones had the stairs, and I would go to the next stop and walk back. I'd all figured out how to get around the tube without using escalators and elevators. It wasn't bad.
You worked out your own map.
Your
own escape route.
Mad, wasn't it?
So I presume.
You know what I did?
Yes, go on.
When I started working in Dublin, I went to St. Stephen's Green Shopping Centre every weekend.
Okay.
And I taught myself to get on to the escalator. I'd make sure there was no one around, no one behind me, no one in front of me, and give myself space to get on, get up, get off. And mad, yeah.
You went training.
But now I'm okay, I can get on them. I'm nervous, like that lady said. I'd always, you know, be careful. I'm fine now.
Okay.
But my heart beat, just listening to everyone else talking about it, so it's obviously there.
Fear of escalators, fear of elevators. Okay.
So when they tell you at the airport to get the elevator instead of the escalator, then yeah, I'm in trouble.
But I presume every public building has to have an option of stairs.
It's amazing. They're very hard to find, you know.
Yeah,
and
good
it
point,
could be like,
yeah. Well, they have to have an escape stairs.
At
yeah.
the back door, you could be walking out to a yard. Like, I've had some bad experiences.
And Joseph,
they're not the safest either.
Yeah, well, I think you'd need two rails for a start, one on either side of a stair. But Josephine, have you come across these escape rooms?
Oh, God. Oh, no. Yeah, I know. And the kids have gone to them. No.
Because I was in Pierce Street last night in the library, and I walked out and there's an escape room just beside it. And I looked in. Now, that would be my idea of hell. You go in and get locked in a room. You pay to get locked in a room with a gang of people, and you have to try and work your way. But I'd last about 2 minutes, and the Tara Street Fire Brigade would be on their way up to get me out. Anyway, okay, Josephine, would you have to work? Well, you're okay in escalators now,
I think,
are you?
I'm okay. Yeah, okay. I'm okay now.
Have
I'm
you
okay.
been back to the Louvre to see the Mona Lisa?
I have, and I honestly don't know how that happened, but anyway, okay. We're married now, so we survived it.
Okay, well done. But I'm sure your marriage, like the elevator, has its ups and downs, has it, Josephine?
Yeah.
Good luck. Bye. Remember, I used to be the lift boy in the Metropole. I used to be on the bridge of the lift in the Metropole. As a little bell boy, my little hat, my little white jacket. I was 13 years of age, and you used to have to land the lift level to the floor. You with me, like on the bridge of a ship, and if you didn't land the lift level to the floor, you open the double gates that fold back, and if you said you might have to say to your clients on the lift, mind the step because you didn't get level, and then you go back down to reception, the Metropole, and Mr. Murphy, the manager, in his shiny mohair suit, will be standing there with his arms crossed, and he'd say, "Mr. Duffy, is there a problem? I heard you use the phrase mind the step. Could you not land level to the floor?" I have a fear of Mr. Murphy ever since let alone lived. Okay, Josephine, thank you indeed. Thank you indeed.
Bye.
Okay, Paula Keegan is in. Where are you in Spain?
Hello, good afternoon, Joe.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm ringing in from Murphy in Spain. Just lovely to listen in the afternoon.
Fair play.
At 23 degrees on the terrace, looking out on
okay,
the sky.
Okay, rub it in, yeah.
But, yeah, but just phoning in on the escalator, I had an incident with a friend where we were heading off, you know, the two, we just turned 60 and heading off to the airport to the sun again and going up the escalator with our bags.
Yeah.
And Michelle was in front of me, I was behind her, and just as we were coming towards the top of the elevator, just there as you're going up to departures, kind
okay.
of everybody would know that escalator. And Michelle got a little bit dizzy and mm-hmm. fell back on top of me. And thankfully, I was holding on to the handlebars.
Mm-hmm.
So that thankfully, the two of us didn't actually end up falling back because there was nobody behind us.
Oh,
we were
no.
right up at the top.
No.
It would have been absolutely dreadful. But thankfully, I was holding on. And I was just saying to the researcher, just to say, if you are using it, you know, it's so mm-hmm. important to actually hold on because accidents, of course, can happen.
Accidents,
but I suppose the funny part of it was that I have vertigo, and my friend was coming to make sure that I wasn't going to have any incident
mm-hmm.
while on holidays, and then this had actually happened. But thankfully, it was a good ending to the story.
Oh, you need,
but you do definitely need
to have wits about you
when you're there. And of course, there is a lift at Dublin Airport, and it's something I think going forward.
And they're pretty big, maybe not everywhere, maybe not where Bridget was. But the lifts, I know, in the departures are pretty big to get you up with your bags.
They are, in fairness, so you're
in Murcia in Spain. Okay.
In Murcia, and absolutely beautiful, 23 degrees and blue sky and sunshine and, great to the bones.
Well, it's 20, It's 26 degrees here in RTE. We're all going round in our shorts and our flip-flops, drinking pina coladas.
Inside.
We're all rubbing Rio de Janeiro Brazilian cream into our bums or whatever you rub it these days. We're completely sweltering here. Completely. Not one ounce of jealousy will you generate from us.
I don't see you going green. No,
we're happy. And
but
you know,
we're
in a place, Paula, where I walk out the studio here at 3 o'clock and I'm greeted by Patrick Keelty with a big hug and a cup of hot chocolate, and he sits me down, helps me recover from the programme. So you are jealous now, aren't you?
Well, no.
Are you driving home for Christmas?
No, I'm staying here for Christmas, which will be, I have the poinsettia out already on the terrace and decorations up and looking out onto a golf course. So
lovely.
You know, it's a lovely part of the world and I am blessed.
Great to hear you.
Wonderful show. It's great too. And just for listeners to make sure to hold on to that handlebar on the way up the escalator or take the lift.
Okay, Paula, great to hear from you. Likewise.
Great to talk to you, Joe. Likewise. Bye-bye. Take care.
Thank you. Back after this break.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joe Duffy!
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815.
Joan Lynch, sorry for holding you, Joan. It was a travelator, which is the flat moving, they're mostly in airports, moving walkway.
Yeah.
Okay, again made from the same material because there's teeth in the steps and they go, but you don't actually see them as such because they have to go around in a circle. What happened, Joan?
We're on the way to Spain and we were 3/4 of the way up. Okay. And I had a smaller bag with me and my husband was behind me. And I don't know what happened. I just went sideways and right down onto the shoulder.
Okay.
And taken off in an ambulance to Beaumont. Very badly dislocated shoulder. So they tried to, they actually put it back in place, but never really recovered properly. All the ligaments were torn.
Yeah.
And I ended up in October then getting a new shoulder.
My God. And was this I'm confused, Joan. Was this a fall on a flat travelator or in an escalator?
Yes. The travelator.
The flat one. Okay, you just lost your balance or whatever. Fell over, you're obviously enclosed, you hit your shoulder off the side wall and then went down on the side.
Wow. Yeah.
And you ended up having to get a shoulder replacement.
Shoulder replacement, and I'm still doing exercises with it. And it had to be opened again, the operation. I had to have a second operation on it, and here I am in November.
Wow.
It's practically well now, but I've gone through 18 months of pain.
Because it happened in May last year.
Yeah.
So you're.
We were only going up to check in.
Did you get away on your holiday?
No, we didn't. No.
Okay. So your message is your tip is hold on to that handrail.
I had a small case beside me.
You seldom see people holding the handrail on those flat travelators, but anyway.
They're practically straight. They're horizontal.
Okay, Joan, I hope you make a full recovery.
Well, I'm getting there slowly, Joe.
Thanks, indeed. Bairn, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. How are you?
What happened?
No, I feel very sorry for all those people that have been on.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I just wanted to tell you something funny that happened to me with an escalator. I am terrified of escalators, to start off with. And my son brought me to Prague some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And when we arrived very late at the station, there was only an escalator going down. So he got on the escalator and went down. And I'm standing at the top, terrified to get on.
Okay.
And I'm screaming at him, I can't. He's saying, for so-and-so sake, mother, come down. Eventually, we had an audience around enjoying the crack that was going on. He had to walk back up the down escalator. That was the only place. There were no stairs. At that hour of the night.
Okay, so he's battling his way up the down escalator.
Up, to try and help mother coming down the stairs, and everyone clapped when we got to the bottom. I just thought you guys enjoyed a bit of fun about an escalator.
Okay, but you got
right, Joe.
But you got, he did rescue you, thank God. Thank God.
Oh, he did indeed. Because otherwise I said, well, I have to stay here for the week now at the top of this escalator.
Camp at the top of an escalator at the peak. Mary O'Neill, this is again the escalator stories go from light to so worrying. Mary, what happened?
Well, I was working in a hospital in London, and the first patient I looked after was a gentleman probably in his 60s that had fallen down an escalator, and he had a head injury, severe head injury,
wow.
And he died.
Oh, but, my God.
That is 1976, but every time I step on an escalator since, I remember that man. I can see him. It sticks in your mind.
And do you know how he got such severe injuries from falling?
I don't know. I don't know. He was completely a head injury that he wasn't able to communicate when I was with him. But since then, I was saying that in my local shopping centre, I've seen two young chaps, probably late teens, running down the escalator and falling at the end and in a unconscious at the bottom on two different occasions. So yeah. It's so important to hold on to
take them very seriously and very slowly.
Yes, and one day I saw a little child with somebody just standing alone, and I was petrified that the child would stumble and fall down the thing. Nobody was holding on to the child, you know.
What are you
showing? So it's so serious.
Are you retired as a nurse now, Mary?
I am, yes.
Okay. Well, you show great compassion when you recall someone who you looked after and unfortunately died, but you say when you see the escalator, you remember that poor man, God rest him. Okay, yes, Mary, that's yes, Mary yes, O'Neill. Yes. Mary, thanks indeed, thank you. And thank you for your wonderful service in the medical profession. Back on Monday, sound is James Feeney, broadcast coordinator Shane Galvin, producer Rachel Graham, series producer Annette Egan. And on Sunday night, The Meaning of Life at 10:30, we're doing them in two series of five. This is the fifth one of this series. It's Catherine Collins, the legendary traveller rights campaigner. I think it was fascinating for me to spend a few hours with her one afternoon up in Parlick Soundhouse. That's Catherine Collins, The Meaning of Life, 10:30 on Monday night. Ray Darcy is next, Sunday night, Joe.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Harry Curry. Refresh your home with the latest colours and designs in curtains and bedding, in-store or at harrycurry.com.
Talk to Joe on 0818 715 815 or send your WhatsApp voice notes to 087 484 8888.